all day Friday. And hey, I've got an idea.
Is that trash can still? No.
There we go. The old-fashioned way. I can't walk as far now. Well, let's see, maybe I can if I get more cord. Gonna be a little less intense this week, I think. I really do prefer the hands-free mic, but we'll use this one. Had those two dreams that were very significant and gave two messages on that, and know that that was a message the Lord gave me. For a church and to me personally about the future, and honestly it left me exhausted. And I think too, thinking on the dream, there are things I think that go on in the spiritual warfare area that you don't maybe always realize at the time, and it can be exhausting and probably going to be a little less intense, but yet very much feel that I have the right thing for this morning. Matthew chapter 10, and if you'll excuse a picture taken off my iPhone, so pardon the extra things on there, but that was a simple way to do it. I want to talk to you a little bit from Matthew 10 and Matthew 25, so if you want to be ready, and I'll have these scriptures up here for you, and not sure how far we're going to get on this, but definitely feel that this is something this morning that we're to share. Matthew 25 has always been a favorite chapter of mine, and God drew me to Matthew 10 as well. Matthew 10:32, which hopefully you can see that all right. Incidentally, is that print big enough that you can see? Okay. Whosoever shall confess me, Matthew 10:32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. That isn't the topic, but I can't just read that and not say a couple of things. Overcome your fear to talk about Jesus. Have you noticed that if you share in the break room at the factory that you go to church, that doesn't create much heart rate increase? Have you noticed that if you mention that you believe in principles, that that doesn't really shatter your nerves too much? But if you're a young Christian, you may have noticed, especially a young Christian, that if you bring up Jesus, Jesus is very controversial. Jesus stirs people up. Because there's no other name in heaven and earth we can be saved except through Jesus. And the two dreams God gave me, which I'm not talking on today, I'll probably refer to them off and on and probably have another message to finish last week at another time. But I said we need to get back to foundational truth. And one of the foundational truths is that Jesus is the way. There aren't 30 Jesuses. There aren't a whole bunch of different religions that teach all different things all over the world and they're just other Jesuses. No. That isn't how it works. If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do, David said. And we're in a day and age where the foundations are being destroyed. It's hard to know where to start talking to somebody because there's nothing to build on. And I gave 8 principles, I believe it was, last week. And certainly that isn't an exhaustive list. There's far more than that. But that the Scripture is the inspired Word of God. It isn't somebody's opinion. It isn't a bunch of historians that got together and they think they got the right things. They're not sure. Some of them should have been over here. The way God has protected His Word, it's the way it's supposed to be. Hello. God has protected His Word, and it's the way it's supposed to be. And God's Word is inspired, and holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the only way. Did you know it stirs things up when you talk about Jesus? And in the break room, when you say, I came to know Jesus, and you're a new Christian, two things will happen. First, your nerves will get a little rattled, because it's a whole lot easier just to say, well, we go down here to this church, you know, that church down here across the Mexico sign, that's where we go. And then we go away and say we witnessed to somebody. I'm not knocking that. That can be a good thing. Go ahead and take an extra step when the time is right and look them straight in the eye and say, Jesus has made a difference in me. And as a young Christian, it may rattle your nerves, but there'll be a joy afterwards. Can you relate? There'll be a joy afterwards, because when you've acknowledged the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a joy comes to your heart when you do that. Go ahead and say it. It's okay. Don't let the news media tell you that it's politically incorrect. You just go right ahead and say it. You know, I have no problem saying I like Dr. Schultz. Dr. Schultz was a godsend to me, and he was my oncologist and the head of the five doctors that ministered to me. And every time I see that man, I hug him, and I'm so thrilled that when I hug him, he points up and says, I had help with you. Don't hug me. So he acknowledges God, but I think that's awesome. But I have no problem saying Dr. Schultz. And when somebody says, I need to have some tests and we need to line up an oncologist, unfortunately, I have people ask me that from time to time. I have no problem saying I would recommend Dr. Schultz. I don't say, well, I you know, there's kind of a few sort of, you know, some that are okay, I'm not going to really say, and I'm not vague at all. I say, here's somebody that helped me, say Jesus. Because when you do, and when you acknowledge the name of Jesus, it brings victory, it pushes the devil back. For it's at the name of Jesus, it's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and it's at the name of Jesus that calms the storm, and it's the name of Jesus that pushes back the lines of the enemy. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. Does this surprise you? This isn't topic either. It's kind of fun just to have these verses here. I can just jump around. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. Does that surprise you? I came not to send peace, but a sword. Pastor, is that in the Bible? I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be of his own household. I won't ask for a show of hands to embarrass anybody, but I wonder how many here are you're the only Christian in your family. Hello, identity with Jesus makes some enemies. Oh, we've got a new feel-good religion out there that everybody's supposed to hug and kiss and all be friends and never have any conflict. That's not the whole scripture. Oh, God does bring unity. And over the years, God can bring down some tremendous walls and can melt some tremendous things and bring unity. And certainly we're called within the church to have unity, for it was when they were in one accord that the Holy Spirit descended. But may I say to you that when you make a choice to go with Jesus, you may make some enemies. A lot of people nowadays think it's a crime if somebody doesn't like them. Did you know the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you? Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. If everybody's got a good thing to say about you, maybe you're not, pardon me, may I say this? Maybe you're not as confrontational as you should be. Maybe you're not out there with the truth as much as you should be. Now, I don't think we go around waving an axe. I talked about that last week. But I think there's a feel-good religion out there that we're buying into, Mystery Babylon, the great prostitute on the horse that just sleeps with everybody. And it's take a little bit of this religion, a little bit of that religion, a little bit of that religion over here, and mix them all together where we're called to be the chaste bride of Christ. And did you know if you choose one girl, you're going to make somebody feel bad that wanted to marry you? And when you say, I won't serve two masters, and you call it, sometimes it'll make enemies. Sometimes it'll be in your own household. I think we need to be in touch with that. We need to understand that. Jesus, that's pretty strong. I'm come to set a man at variance against his father and daughter against her mother. And don't take that out of context. No, we don't sinfully stir up strife, and we make every effort to keep the peace, the Bible says. But the Jesus issue will cause a barrier at times. The Jesus issue will rile people and upset people. And don't be alarmed, he said, when someone doesn't like you. And some of your foes may be of your own household, and you may have to take a stand that's unpopular in your family. We have very lovingly, taken a stand in our family, extended family. Won't go into that this morning, but some of you are aware of that. There's some huge issues, scriptural violations, lifestyles that are absolutely unscriptural, but yet the individuals profess to be Christians and to walk in the Spirit. Did you know that a fountain cannot bring forth sweet and bitter water? Did you know that? I can't be a practicing axe murderer and be a Spirit-filled Christian. Does everybody know that? Professing themselves to be wise, it says they'll become fools. That's exactly what's happening in our world. Professing to be wise. We're supposed to be the smartest generation ever was. More technology than ever before. It says they'll become fools. How many of you know that I can't be a practicing axe murderer and be a Spirit-filled Christian? Those two don't go together. And the Bible is very clear from creation all the way through. And sometimes when you lovingly take a stand, not militantly, lovingly with a sad heart, seeing what has happened and seeing the destruction that is happening in families and the way people are going so blindly, yes, blindly astray, sometimes when you take a stand, it divides. Sometimes it causes problems. I want to tell you, if you're not ready for that, you're going to miss out in the years ahead. We're nearing the tribulation period, and we're going to enter a time where we're going to have to say where the line is. We can't conveniently hide over here somewhere. We're going to have to say lovingly, no, I can't go with that. When I took a stand, and my wife took a stand in a very difficult situation in our extended family, and someone made the accusation, well, how could you do that? You folks ran a home for troubled girls, rescue resort, and took in people. I said, yes, but we didn't let them bring their drugs. They had to make a choice. And we said, please come. And I've sat in jail cell and cried and said, we want you to come, but you can't come unless you're willing to pick up your cross. Now you're just supposed to carry all that stuff along with you. You just stay the same thing, and God just uses it anyway. That is not the truth. A fountain cannot give off sweet and bitter water. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus said that. You know, you get mad at me. I'm repeating it, so maybe you're mad. You can't serve two masters. God is calling us. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I'm come to send a sword. There'll be variants. The man and his father and daughter and mother and daughter-in-law and against the mother-in-law, and a man's foes be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Sorry, I got that cut off a little bit at the top. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I love this verse. There's 100 messages in this. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. My Christian brother and sister, does the world receive you? Does the world receive you? Do we have the Spirit of Christ? You noticed a few moments ago I said we lovingly take a stand. In reference to extended family issues, someone said, how do you feel about this professing Christian who's in a very immoral lifestyle? I said, oh, we would take him in to live with us in a minute. In a minute. Oh, I wish the phone would ring and the individual would say, I need help and I need to come out of this vice and this hold that's on me. I'd say, oh, we have a room. You can come. You can come and stay with us. We lovingly take a stand. We lovingly, with a sad heart, seeing what's happening in our world, we take a stand. He that receiveth you receiveth me. Boy, it's tempting to go off on that. I'm not going to. I want to have such a spirit of Christ. I want to have such a spirit of Christ that as Jesus, the world was drawn. It was interesting to me that Jesus' conflicts were with the church leaders. Did you notice that? He had a good conversation with the woman at the well, and it was those that professed. It was those that professed the faith that he had trouble with. We'll move on. Verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And our topic for today that I feel God spoke to me early in the week, when I realized Bill wouldn't be able to speak today. Bill was going to speak today. He's going to speak next week instead. He had a trip to the emergency room this week. But in praying, Lord, if Bill's not able to speak, do you want me or someone else? God gave me this verse, and for today we're going to stay on this from here on out. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. Now we can kind of shift gears just a little bit, kind of went into my dream a little bit there, tied in some things from last week, and I think that needed to be. But I want us now to focus on the simplicity of the gospel. Whosoever shall give a drink of cup of cold water in my name, he'll not lose his reward. I want to try to get across this morning a very simple truth, but yet a very profound truth. One of my dreams was, that I shared week before last, was that we're entering an overwhelming time. A time of chaos and confusion. Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Babel. Confusion. That's what Babel means in the original language of the Bible. At the Tower of Babel, their tongues were confused. We're in a time of chaos and confusion. So today, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, I want to get across to you, how do we minister during that? Remember in my dream, God used me tremendously on that bus. 2 weeks ago, I shared that part. He used me tremendously on that bus, and I ministered to people all over the bus, the driver, and he didn't want me to leave, and I told you that it was the most chaotic day of my life, and how they impounded my motorcycle on this trip, and I was in this messy, ugly garage and couldn't find the things I need to prove the motorcycle was mine and my own identification, and it was the most overwhelming day of my life, but yet at the same time, God used me tremendously on that day. So in these perilous times that we're entering in, how do we minister? And with my mind probing into that and scripturally looking at that, God brought this to me, Matthew 10:42, that if you'll give a cup of cold water in my name, don't let the trials of life overwhelm you. Don't let the difficulties of everyday life and the complexity of our society, the trick of the enemy is to get you overwhelmed to where, oh, I give up, I can't do this. And that's his ultimate goal. We got to get back in touch with a simple truth here this morning. I think that's why God walked me into this next after the last 2 weeks' messages. The simplicity, but the power of the Holy Spirit using the simple things. A number of years ago, I didn't know Don would be here this morning. Sometimes he has to work. A number of years ago, Don Day lost his sister, Ann Saddlemyer. Ann was a beautiful young woman. I believe she was 29 at the time when she died, but 26. But Don came to me very burdened and said, you know, we were raised in the Catholic Church, and there's just been a lot of misconceptions in the family, and I'm not really sure where Ann is, and don't remember every detail, but I certainly remember the context of the conversations. Don was very burdened for Ann. He didn't know if she was ready, didn't know where her heart was. And so I began visiting her in Indianapolis. And boy, oh boy, Don, I want it with sensitivity, but yet with clarity, if I can use this, it's okay, okay. Ann was a picture of what often happens. Ann was a beautiful, beautiful girl. And as she went through treatment and all and lost weight, you could see that she had been a very beautiful girl. She had high cheekbones and thin face, but she lost so much weight. And when you would go in the room at the first glance, you recognized she had been a very, very beautiful girl. But yet you could see the toll that the disease had taken. And so I began visiting her and asking the Lord to give me an opportunity to talk to her about where she was spiritually. I felt as a pastor, I felt a commitment to Don that on that. But I also, as I visited her, I felt a burden myself. I got to know where she is spiritually. I've got to know that she's ready, because they weren't feeling she was going to make it, and she was deteriorating quickly. And it just wouldn't fall. It wouldn't float. I would drive to Indianapolis, and on the way to Indianapolis, I would plan my speech, you know, and how I was going to walk her into talking about this, and it just wouldn't happen. I'd go down and I'd get in the room, and the conversation just wouldn't go right, and I could see I was forcing the thing. It just wasn't going right. I remember on one occasion, because I visited her different times, I was there, and while I'm just getting on the verge of kind of walking into, you know, how does she feel? We're not sure where this is going to go. A lot of people are praying for you. We're not sure where it's going to go medically. You know, hon, it doesn't look like it's heading a good direction, and I need to ask you a couple questions. You know, I want to kind of head that direction. And in would come an interruption, and we got to take her for tests, or one day another minister came in, and even the spirit in which he came in, I was a little troubled. He just kind of came in and took over, and I left the room just with a sad heart, and I thought, Lord, Don's counting on me here. And I hadn't been Ann's pastor. I was just getting to know Ann. And so I felt commitment to Ann, but I felt commitment to Don, too. And I left different times thinking, Lord, Don's counting on me to talk to Ann, pave the way. And it just wasn't working. Felt very strongly one day, I don't know what day it was of the week, that I should go down. I just felt I should go that day. So I thought, oh, maybe this is the day for the speech. You know, God usually doesn't do it the way we plan. Does anybody know that? So I went down, and Don's mother was sitting at the bedside with her. And when I came in, she kind of broke into a smile, and she said, Ann's got some appetite back. I said, oh, really? I said, yeah. You know, she had, with treatment and all, she hasn't been hungry. She's got some appetite back. And they're discouraged somewhat with the test results, but you know what? They said, anything she wants, let her have it. Of course, I knew that wasn't always good news. Anything she wants, let her have it. So I sit down at the bed, and I kind of lighthearted mood, and they're talking and laughing about different foods, and Mom's saying, does this sound good, or does that sound good? And all of a sudden, Ann breaks into a smile and says, you know what sounds really good? And her mom said, what? And I said, there. And Ann said, those rolls at Golden Corral, those sweet yeast rolls. And just as clear as anything, the Holy Spirit poked in my heart and said, go get her some. And I looked up and I said, would you like to have some rolls from Golden Corral? And she said, no, there's no Golden Corral close around here. I said, I don't care. Do you want some rolls from Golden Corral? And she said, well, it does sound really good. Mom spoke up and said, I'd probably eat some too. So I left, and I had to drive 60 miles. And I went to the Golden Corral and went to the back to the waitress, and she asked one table, said no. I told her, I said, a minister to a woman with cancer. I'm a pastor. She wants some rolls. Well, they wouldn't even charge me for the rolls. I was glad to pay for them, but they wouldn't even charge me. And they gave me 6 huge yeast rolls with the butter. Now, I'll see what time it is. You guys got a little time. They were shiny. Shiny bill on top. and they had, you know, when the yeast is just right and they raise so that they're actually pushing the plastic out that they wrap them, so the plastic's all pushed out because they shrink wrap them there when they give them to you to go. And when I told them I was going a distance, I don't know that they do that for everybody, but they did for me. And they said, hey, let's do better than that. Let's put it in double styrofoam containers and we'll double shrink wrap it and maybe they'll stay warm. Let's get them right out of the oven. So they got them right out of the oven, and they put them in double styrofoam containers and shrink-wrapped them twice, and gave them to me. And I drove pretty fast, 60 miles back. You know where I'm going with this. I walked into the room and said, I got something for you. And I cut open that plastic, and that smell, those rolls came out, and she broke into a big smile. And when she said, thank you, I knew the time was right. And as a young pastor eager to give my speech, I had overlooked that 6 hot rolls could open the way for the best conversation we had ever had. And I had a conversation with her following that afternoon as I stayed, and she ate some rolls, and then we began to talk. And the whole atmosphere was different. And we had a conversation that afternoon that God had ordered. And even though Don and I were squirming with some of the things of the funeral and some of the things that were said that didn't need to be said, in fact, I didn't mean to be irreverent, but I spoke right out loud in the funeral service. I don't normally do that. But when the gentleman, I'll just say it that way, when the gentleman leading the service said, you know, we got to pray her into heaven, we don't know where she is, I, without realizing it, oh, yes, we do. I just said it. And I don't know if anybody heard me much around me, but I remember saying it out loud. We don't know where she is. I said, oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. We know exactly where she is. She opened her heart to Jesus before she left this world. And she's with the Lord and maybe listening to our service this morning. I don't know what all goes on in heaven. Hear me. My dream, my first dream, those dreams had powerful meaning and they had prophetic meaning to prepare us for the future. The first dream was a day when I was more overwhelmed than I can ever imagine being. I woke up so overwhelmed that I was almost beside myself, but yet it kept coming to me how God had used me on that bus in the middle of that day. And I'm not going to go back and tell the whole dream if you weren't here that Sunday. And what I said to you that day, don't let the overwhelming circumstances of life in this chaotic world get you down. Put it aside. Let it go. We want to be in control of our lives and keep everything going and working, and oh my, we're a mess if it's just right. Let it go. We're entering a time of confusion. There's going to be things happen that I don't care how many times you add up on your spiritual calculator and hit the total button, it comes up no sense. Anybody had anything like that? No matter how many times you hit your spiritual calculator and hit total, it comes up, this doesn't make any sense. This is the most bizarre thing. How in the world did this happen? It's demonic. It's demonic. That's how it happened. The devil's in it, and people get attitudes that come from nowhere that you're just shocked and stunned. How did they get in this frame of mind, you say to yourself? How in the world did this happen? But they did. But what you've got to hang on to is that there's a simple principle as we face an hour of tribulation and as we face an hour of chaos and difficulty and depravity and straying from God and blindness, as the Laodicean church prophesies in Revelation 3. We're entering a time when we've got to get a hold of God will use us tremendously, but let him do it with the simple things of everyday life. And God used 6 yeast rolls. Yes, I was willing to go get them. And I think that conveyed something. I want to be willing. I want to be ready to do what I need to do. And you would have done the same thing. When you saw the smile and that's something she wanted, you didn't care how far it was. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to do that. But God used that as a vehicle to soften her heart. And the love of Christ used that simple act of a cup of cold water. God's calling us back to the simple things. Don't make a structured, organized ministry out of it. Just do simple things. I think we should open a food pantry. I don't think anybody said that. And if you did, I'm not making fun of you. I don't remember. Just have them go to lunch with you today. Maybe they're discouraged. Nothing wrong with food pantries. Actually, in this ministry, we'd like to have one, and we kind of do. We just don't call it that. But the point I'm making, somehow in our religious world, we've got this idea we've got to make a structured ministry out of everything when God is saying, I'll just use a cup of cold water And if it's with right motive, if was my motive right that day, I'm sure many times it's not been, but and I'm just like you, I sometimes don't handle things right, but I know my motive was right. I when I saw that girl smile and then she said, "I'd love to have some yeast rolls," I wouldn't have cared if it's 500 miles, I'm going to go get her some Golden Corral yeast rolls. When simple things are done with the love of Christ as the motivation, it's powerful, 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 powerful. You understand? A number of years ago, I visited a man that was dying. It was Guy Woodhouse's father, Guy Sr. Visited him and prayed with him and Dorothy. Before I left, I asked him, I said, "Is there anything that I could do for you?" And he kind of shuffled around and he said, "Yeah." He said, "I got two boys that aren't walking with the Lord." This has been years ago. He said, "I got two boys that aren't walking with the Lord, Guy and Larry." And he said, "Yeah, there's something you could do for me. Would you try to help them?" Well, I didn't know at the time, but Guy had been a Christian in time past and had strayed away. Larry, I don't believe, was a Christian at the time. And I said to Guy Sr., I said, yeah, I will. And honestly, I was thinking, well, where do I start? You know, just go over, "Hey, your dad said he wanted you to get saved." Now, no, that isn't the way. So I just, and I believe it was prompted of the Lord, I said to Guy Sr., I said, "What's their interests?" He said, "Oh, they love to hunt. They absolutely love to hunt." Well, I had never bow hunted. Well, I went with a guy one time that I was trying to help. But actually, to bow hunt, I had never really bow hunted, but I've always wanted to. Did you know God will use your likes and your passions and your interests? We're all used to cups of cold water. He didn't make us hard. Is there anybody here who can't give a cup of cold water? "Oh, Pastor, I'd like to spread your word. I'd like to do some good, but I don't have the ability." "Oh, really? Guy Sr., what do they like to do?" "They love to hunt." So I got a hold of Guy and Larry, and I said, of course, I'd been visiting their, they had visited Singspirations, their family had at the church I was pastored at in Peru, where Rod Carell is now. Rod was my assistant at the time. And they liked music, and they came. And long story short, I asked Guy and Larry to teach me to hunt. Little did I know what a success. Never mind. When I got a nice deer, I called Guy and said, "You taught me everything I know." So that's what I'm talking about. We began doing some practicing together, and they took me to Lingle's. Anybody remember Lingle's in Wabash, the gun shop? We went to Lingle's in Wabash, and they helped me pick out a bow, a Browning Bushmaster. I'll never forget it. We went out, just practiced bow together, learning to hunt. And Guy invited me to go hunting some spots that he had for years, and that meant far more to me than he probably even realized that he would share. Men don't always share their hunting spots. He invited me to hunt with him, and a friendship began to form. And I never will forget Guy, and you probably remember this too. You guys asked me to go catfishing with you on the reservoir. And we hadn't had spiritual conversations really before this. And I went late at night, and we were on the reservoir. I believe it was a Salamone. I can't remember if it was Missinaw or Salamone. I think it was a Salamone. And we were out sitting in the boat, and it was getting dark. And up to that point, we had practiced bow and bought bows, and we had worked together and gone some places. But sitting there in the dark on that boat, just kind of enjoying the water as it was getting dark, Guy, I remember, broke the silence and began telling me how he used to have a close relationship with the Lord, but some things had come in his life, and he had drifted away. And that led into a talk with Larry. And wasn't long, both those guys were coming to church, and wasn't long until there was a change in them, and their neighborhood began to see it, and changes in their marriage and in their home. And what am I saying? A cup of cold water in my name. If I were to ask for people to share this morning, I'm sure there's numerous people that could share times that God has used you in that way. I just happen to be sharing a couple of mine, and I'm sure and positive that I've missed many opportunities. Guy is an assistant pastor today, and a man who deeply loves the Lord, and Larry's walking with the Lord. Don't make a structured, organized ministry out of it. Spend time with Jesus daily. Do the simple deeds of kindness and watch God powerfully use it. Did you know that if you walk with God, you bring a presence? Are you aware of that? That if you walk with God, you bring a presence. Well, what could my little cup of cold water do? And that's why sometimes I'll encourage others. Sometimes people will call me, and I think maybe you've picked up on this. People will call me and ask me to see someone, and I'll say, I will. A little later, would you go see him? Because sometimes people think, well, it's got to be the pastor's presence. But if you're walking with God and you're praying for a person, when you go to them, you take a presence. The Holy Spirit accompanies you. Paraclete, precious partner is what I call it. Don't underestimate bringing a presence. And this simple truth we need to come back to, that if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. Because in these last days of chaos and peril and turmoil and confusion, mystery babbling, as we enter that time period, there'll be times when the circumstances are overwhelming and the demonic influences are incredible. But God will powerfully use us through the simple things. We bring a presence. Matthew 25 says, when the Son of Man shall come in glory with all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king, I've always loved this passage of scripture, and then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. Stay with me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed thee, thirsty and gave thee drink, saw you stranger, saw you naked? He said, inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these my brothers, you've done it unto me. I want to go back over that just for a second. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. Simple but profound. Stay with me. He didn't say, I was hungry, and you bought me groceries for the next year. We do that sometimes. It doesn't say, I was hungry, and you provided all my groceries for the next year. It says, you gave me meat. God ministers in the moment. There might be a time you helped a son or daughter, or you helped it. We've done it too. You know, there's a time for things. But the principle here is the Holy Spirit working in the moment. The simple things. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I don't think Mike will mind me telling a little story, and he may not know this. I don't think he does, probably, but I don't think you mind. Mike's become like a son to us, so I can get by with this. His father, John, who we dearly love and has become such a good friend, we work together in the mission. John came to stay with us for a couple of weeks last year, and we wanted to show him a good time. We wanted to see some of America, and Haiti and America are quite a contrast, and in fact, we've had Haitian pastors say, John didn't say this, but we've had Haitian pastors say that when they die, they want to go to heaven, but they'd like to stop by America. So we had a Haitian pastor say that from a rural area. He said, I'd like to stop by America, but I just want you to see how they view America. And America has its problems. Michael's finding that out. But that's how they view America. And John came, and I thought, man, I want this guy just to have a time of his life. So Pam and I talked, and, you know, the different foods we were going to fix for him, and then I wanted to take him to Providence Dairy, and, you know, they have a cow tied here and there to a tree, you know, and a little bit of grass, and I wanted to see this dairy and all the stuff they do. It's insane, you know, the stuff nowadays with the technology. And so Patty set it up for us, and we took him through the dairy, and then there was a guy compacting all the feed, you know, how they put those big tarps over it all, and I asked him if John could ride in the tractor, and so John gets in this great big, I don't know, 16-wheel tractor that breaks in the middle, and John's up there riding with the guy, and it's great, and I'm taking pictures of him. And then we loaded up the horses, and we went to Winnemac, and we went horseback riding, and I let him ride Big Jake. Jake's just awesome. He's 16, two hands, and he's just, you got to stand on a picnic table to get on him. And John is riding him, and I took a picture of John with six shooters in a hat, and I think I sent it to Mike and emailed it to him. And we just had a time of our life. And then we went over to Dave Hines. He manages the farm over here by Marion, I can't think of, Newhouse Farm. There's 5,000 acres, and man, they got all GPS combines and everything. And he couldn't even believe that these combines, you just read a book, you know, and set the GPS to come in the field and turn around. It's insane. So anyway, we just tried to really show him a good time. A stranger, and you took me in. John left, went to New York for a week to speak in a church, and then headed back for Haiti. And Mike, don't want to embarrass you or anything, but I don't think you know this either. He called me from New York, and I didn't recognize his voice. He was sobbing on the phone and crying. And I said, John, what's the matter? And he said, Tom, I was thinking back over my stay with you guys. And I said, okay, what's the matter? He said, I'm a black man from a poor slave country, and you treated me so special. I can't believe how special you treated me. And I said, well, John, you're our friend. He said, but Tom, most people wouldn't have me come in the States, and you showed me such a good time. You guys, we didn't do anything that you wouldn't have done. A simple principle, it's so simple we fall over it. God uses the simple in the moment actions if they're motivated by the love of Christ. That's the key. Listen, the basic need of the human heart is comfort. That's ground zero. You got to understand that. The basic need of the human heart is comfort. When we go astray and fall into addictions or get into moral problems, people are looking for comfort. You follow me? These sins are symptoms of a deeper problem. That's why I appreciated Teen Challenge so much, where Scotty went for 13 months a few years ago. They said, we're not about drug rehabilitation, we're about character rehabilitation. We believe there's something caused you to go that route. And we can fix the drug thing, but there's a deeper thing going on. And deep inside what the Creator knows, deep inside every one of us, is the need for comfort. And that's why people go. And that's why I don't get upset at people when they come to me and say, Pastor, you're going to be so disappointed that I went from relationship to relationship to relationship, and I slept with 10 people, and I know you probably didn't know it, you're going to be disappointed. And they're shocked when I look at them and I say, I'm not disappointed. They go, huh? I say, I'm not disappointed. Well, I know you don't want me living like that. No, I don't. But I understand you're looking for comfort. You grew up hurting terribly. You're looking for comfort. The old King James Version on this particular passage is more accurate than any. And I love a lot of the translations. What does John 14 call the Holy Spirit? The Comforter. It's expedient for you that I go away, but I will send the Comforter. How do we offer the Comforter? Through the simple. Don't ruin it and have to make a ministry out of it and give it a title and get together and have a committee to do it. Now, there's a time for that. Live life. Walk close to the Lord. He will cause you to bring a presence. And when you go to Providence Dairy with your stranger friend who's here from another country, and you take him there, the Holy Spirit will make that such a sweet experience that it'll minister to his heart and give him worth. Do you follow me? a cold Coke on a busy day in the break room and 15 minutes to listen to somebody's problem brought comfort and gave them worth. The God that created us wants to comfort us. I thought it was interesting in this. Look at the verse. Naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me. Pray tell me, why doesn't it say I was sick and you healed me? It says we have healing in the atonement. But in this passage, when Jesus was talking, he said, I was sick and you visited me. Well, I would have thought I was sick and you healed me. No, you visited me. Sometimes we just need to button it. We need to button it, and I don't mean this irreverently. We don't need to quote somebody a bunch of verses. We just need to go to dairy with them and let God use a silent action in a cup of cold water and a cold Coke and 5 or 10 minutes, and he'll do marvelous things, and he'll pierce through. Does that make sense? That's the reason that a few minutes ago when I started the message, I said this is very simple but profound at the same time. It's so simple we fall over it. But yet, I think a lot of times we don't practice it adequately. So there's a sense in which it is very profound. The deepest need of the human heart is comfort. When we buy him meat, could I get you a sandwich? Let's just talk. You look a little sad this morning in the service. Could we just talk and have a sandwich together? I don't need to buy your groceries. That's overwhelming. Buy groceries for somebody for the rest of their life? That'll wear you out. Sometimes God isn't asking of us what we think he is. Let's don't structure it and make a ministry out of it and ruin it. Life's overwhelming. Buy a sandwich. I can handle that much. Buy a cold Coke. Visit them when they're sick. We don't need to go in there and preach them a sermon. Just go sit with them. I've had times when I sat with somebody in a funeral home and I held their hand. And we sat there or at a bedside and I held their hand for 20 minutes. And then leaned over and gave them a little kiss on the forehead and said, I gotta go. They sent me a card and say, oh, you'll never believe how much you helped me. I ain't even saying that. We bring a presence. The need of the human heart is comfort. Bill, that's why your couple wants to be baptized. You've had the time to listen to them. You've had the time to hear them out. You've had the time to be patient when maybe they didn't understand everything. Love always perseveres. Love always perseveres. This is very simple. One fear I had in sharing the message this morning is that people think, well, heaven's sake, what's he raving about that for? Everybody knows that. But there's an underlying thing we don't get. I can tell we don't get it because we don't practice it. We know the verses, but we don't really get it. I don't think we really honestly believe that a cup of cold water with the comforter within us can melt stone in a heart. I don't think we really believe that. But I've seen it happen. I saw it with 6 rolls in a hospital room. I saw it open the way for eternal salvation. I believe those 6 rolls, that simple deed opened the way for eternal salvation. Okay, I got to quit. But real quick, let me read you these. I took time to type them out so you can read them, right? The reason we lose our joy is we don't keep it simple. Guilty. Guilty. As I get older, I want to do better at that. Got several goals as I become an older man, and I'm certainly becoming that. The reason we lose our joy is we don't keep it simple. Stay close to Jesus and live life open to the opportunities to comfort others. It's the basic need of the human heart. Joe Fraze, some of you know him as Dr. Fraze, and that's how I knew him, excuse me. He was on my team of 5 doctors, and he and one other man own Sela House, the home for girls with anorexia, and goes and works in Ukraine prior to this mess with Russia. They have ministry going over there, and we've been on boards together, and just an awesome guy. We get together frequently. One day, he was getting more and more open with me and better friends, and one day, he said to me there at St. Vincent's, he said, oh, he said, Tom, I just enjoy ministry. He said, I just enjoy ministry. He said, wish I could just get rid of this doctor stuff. I wish I could just be done with all this. And I don't call him down very often. He's a highly educated man, but I looked at him and I said, Joe, let me repeat what he said first, and I'll tell you what I said. He said, I'd like to just get out of this hospital. I enjoy ministry. I enjoy the Sailor House now. I'd just like to get out of this hospital and get rid of this stuff. I said, Joe. And when he turned and looked at me, I said, it was you who sat down on my hospital bed in 6814 and ministered me in a way like nobody has for a long time. And it was while you were on your job. He said, thanks. Brings me back. Does anybody know that these principles apply to your workplace? I get here and get this stinking 8 hours over with. God chastised me one time. I kept saying, Lord, why am I stuck at Kroger's? I want to be in the ministry. You've given me ability. You've given me things. I want to be a minister. Why am I stuck at Kroger's? And God chastised me when he'd heard enough of that. And I kept pleading with him to go in the ministry. And my motive, I did want to be in the ministry. God said, you begin ministering here, and I'll use you out there. See, we want to make a ministry out of it. We want to structure it. And when I started saying, Lord, who should I go with on break today? Who should I go and sit in front of the store with and have coffee that maybe might want to talk today? And who might have a sad countenance today? And who? And God began using me in an incredible way. And pretty soon, we was having a Bible study in our home from people from Kroger's. The simple things. Almost done. Stay close to Jesus. Live a life open to opportunity to comfort others, the basic need of the human heart. This is a profound principle, but it's so simple that we fall over it. The deepest need of the human heart is comfort, and when we offer that in simple ways, motivated by the love of Jesus, it's powerful. Now, remember the verse I read early on that I didn't elaborate on too much? Matthew 10:40, he that receives you receives me. And receive Jesus, because Dawn was praying and family was praying, but I happened to be the vehicle in that particular day. He who receives you receives me, and when she received me, then that opened the way to receive Jesus. Does that make sense? Jesus said, he who receives you receives me, but I believe it's done through the simple things. All right, last one. My very presence has immense healing power, God says. My very presence, and that came out of my devotional, actually. Some scripture verses, and then taken from that what God was saying in those verses. We want to be very careful not to change anything in the scripture, but this certainly isn't. My very presence has immense healing power. That's why at the funeral home, my friend, sitting next to someone just simply holding their hand can bring tremendous healing. And as you sit there and you feel like, oh, I'm clumsy with words, I don't have anything to say, or you're at a bedside of Anne and you feel clumsy and awkward, God's very presence can bring healing. His very presence. And I think sometimes we feel too much pressure to say something. There is a time to speak. We opened up with the importance of saying Jesus' name. But I think sometimes sitting at a bedside and just taking the time to sit with someone and saying, Jesus, help them, minister to them, comfort their heart. I don't know how to do it. Comfort their heart. I never dreamed John would call from New York and sob and cry at a level that I didn't know it was him, and say, thank you. I'm a black man from a slave country, and you treated me so special. And I realized again that if you just give a cup of cold water in my name, you won't lose your reward. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. I challenge you, approach your workplace in a new way. Instead of, I'd be so glad to get my stinking 8 hours out of here and punch out and get out of this place. You know, I used to hate to see a Kroger sign. We'd go on vacation. I would not stop at a Kroger's. I hated the sign. God rebuked me on that. And I found out that a lot of the theology that I preach came from the years at Kroger's, and it was tremendous seminary. And some of the leaders we have here in this building came from there. Because God uses a cup of cold water. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. And I'd ask that you would take this simple truth and drive this home to us and use this in our lives. In an overwhelming world, help us to come to grips with that you want to minister through us. You want to use us in these simple and powerful ways. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for what you're doing in this group. Thank you that mercy has found us. As I look around this room, I see your mercy and grace and compassion and goodness. Watch over us as we leave this place. Guide our afternoon, we pray. And I would ask that, I don't know why at the end of the message kind of felt your thumb in my back, that we need to take this principle into the workplace tomorrow. Quit complaining. Quit whining. Take this principle into our marriage. Honey, I want to give you a cold Coke here. You look tired. You just came in from working outside. Here. And that if that's motivated by the love of Christ and it's sincere and there's no other motive, we can give gifts to get something back. But if it's motivated by the right thing, even that right in the home setting is a powerful, powerful thing. Help us to realize this principle works. Be with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.